JSF is an adventure like a ride in a hot air balloon. Exciting, unpredictable, and full of the unexpected. Your support makes it all possible. Help keep the adventure going and flying high with a donation right now to Fun Drive 2025 at cjsffundrive.ca or by texting the word donate to 778-782-2573 to get a donation link. It's all because of you that we can rise higher and reach further.
I'm Jesse Brown, and today we are on the trail of one of the world's most infamous cyber outlaws.
We are having geopolitical impact. We're saying who's going to f***ing rule in this world and who isn't.
Wait for that.
I'm Canada Land senior producer Bruce Thorson, and I want to start today's story at the end, or as close to the end as we can piece together. The moment the wave surge hit the beach and the campsite. No one that we know of was there the next morning to see what and who had survived. But you're about to hear the voice of one man who did witness much of the rest of this story. And his name is Ian. Here he is.
On January 31st, Chris went offline. He was going to Big Sur to be an old f***ing hippie again, to recapture that spirit of the Grateful Dead, smoke weed, stare at the ocean, observe the stars, connect with nature, meet free spirits, wander from town to town, a latter-day Dr. David Banner. I have not heard from him since. His friends have not heard from him since. But I hope to God those floods did not get them. Nature is even more unforgiving than a repressive government and bullying jackbooted cops. I hope to God he's around a campfire tonight, boring some poor soul stupid with his war stories. I hope he's bellowing his ba-ha-ha-ha-ha at someone. I hope he walks out of the desert one day soon as he once did in Mexico with a quarter grin and the bold swagger of an aging and skinny arse. John Wayne. Chris, fella, where the f*** are you? Don't die on me now, fella. March 8th, 2023. Still silence. In the words of Albert Finney in Big Fish, this is not how it ends. This is not how it f***ing ends. March 9th, 2023. Chris, wherever you are, shine on, you crazy diamond. I love you, pal.
That's how the story of you and Chris almost ended.
That's how it almost ended.
Okay, now we're going to start again at the beginning. Hi, Ian.
Hi, Bruce.
Ian, we've known each other for a while. Ian Thornton is a novelist and a biographer of dark characters, like Dracula author Bram Stoker.
Dracula is not the outright monster that we see in the movies.
Ian also writes about famed occultist and magician Aleister Crowley.
Crowley was not the wickedest man in the world, as the British papers claimed he was. He was actually Churchill's Scarlet Pimpernel in two world wars.
And a few weeks ago, he inked a deal with a famed film studio.
I can't say too much about this because of the contract with the film studio. And it's...
One day, Ian was strolling down Queen Street with his two young kids. Now, Toronto's Queen Street is an active social place. It's great for sidewalk strolling. It's lined with small shops, funky tumble-down buildings. And as I said, it's social. It's great for people watching. And on this particular day...
It was the spring of 2016, and I was walking down Queen Street West. And I was just about to pass in front of the Ukrainian church at Trinity Bellwoods Park. And there was a character sitting on the steps who looked up at me, and he was asking for money. But I dropped $2 into his cowboy hat,
What did he look like?
He was 5'7"-ish, really skinny, ex-tattooed on his cheekbone in light blue, reddish hair, really pale skin, scruffy ginger beard, and he had really engaging eyes that seemed like he wanted to open a conversation, and there was an intelligence there, but all framed by a really craggy face and quite awful teeth. He hadn't seen a dentist in 50 years.
The man Ian and his kids had just met said his name was Gordon. And Gordon could talk.
With dissent, the idea of dissent. And yet at the same time, they sit on their high horses and lecture Bahrain and lecture Egypt.
This guy could talk, as my dad used to say in Yorkshire, he could talk a pie off a shelf.
And if you don't think so, try to occupy that park right there. Go ahead, get 500 people, go try to do an occupy in, park there. Do it. I bet you don't last until nightfall tomorrow before they'll be in here with horse cops and riot cops and they will run you out of that park.
Ian's new friend, Gordon Powell, was like an apocalyptic street preacher.
Now how come you can't even sit in the park and yell at people? I mean, what the hell, you call that freedom of assembly?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Bullshit, man.
So that's bound up society in case of U.S.
That first encounter with Gordon Powell went on until...
My kids started to tug at my sleeves and asked to go to the park or to go for an ice cream and wine.
Over the next month or so, Ian and Gordon fell into a pattern. Ian would be out walking with his kids, looking for ice cream or going to the park. And as they passed the church steps, they'd stop and chat with Gordon. And then one day, something was wrong with Gordon.
I saw him from a distance, animated, hopping, arms waving, vocal. It seemed like excitement as opposed to anger or frustration. Dude, it is the wildest thing. I'm going to tell you something now that is going to blow your mind and possibly change your life. You have to sit down. Tell me you have some time to hear what I have to tell you. What is it, fella? What happened last night in your country, man? It is such good news for Julian. He paused and looked at me, and I had no idea what he was going on about. It seemed to refer to Brexit.
Let June the 23rd go down in our history as our Independence Day.
It's Julian. He's arrested on an EU warrant from Sweden. And this means they will have to tear that thing up now. You've left Europe. Hang on, slow down. Who is Julian? He paused, tilted his head, and hissed through his teeth. Assange. Ian, my name is not Gordon Powell. I'm a cyber warlord in the freedom collective known as Anonymous. I have brought down dictators, hacked US elections, hacked and immobilized whaling ships as they are about to harpoon. I've scrambled satellites, brought Israel, Turkey and the Vatican to their knees. I hold the power of the internet in my hand, and I communicate with Julian regularly. He's my friend, I am his ally. The internet knows me as Commander X. He paused in his greatest hits and somewhat rehearsed spiel and chuckled. You think I'm madman, don't you? I do not blame you, but I want you to go home and search in an issue of the New Yorker from September 2014. There is an article in there by David Kushner called The Masked Avenger. Well, that's me, dude. That's all me.
So Ian gathered up his kids and did the one thing he could do.
I went home and I found the New Yorker piece really easily. Now, the important thing about the New Yorker piece was that it wasn't a paragraph in a side panel. It was 25 pages. That was the first...
Devoting 25 pages to one man underscores just how big a player he is, or at least how good his story is. Here's David Kushner, the writer of the piece on Commander X.
I was talking with my editor at The New Yorker about doing a larger piece about Anonymous. And to me, the story was, how has activism moved from the streets to the internet and then back to the streets? That was, I think, fundamentally the story I was telling. And Commander X was really the personification of that.
Here's a bit from that New Yorker piece being read by our own Canada Land colleague, Caleb.
On September 22, 2011, in a coffee shop in Mountain View, California, Doyon was arrested and charged with causing intentional damage to a protected computer. He was detained for a week and released on bond. 2 days later, against his lawyer's advice, he called a press conference on the steps of the Santa Cruz County Courthouse. His hair in a ponytail, he wore dark sunglasses, a black pirate hat, and a camouflage bandana around his neck. In characteristically melodramatic fashion, Doyon revealed his identity. "I am Commander X," he told reporters. He raised his fist. "I am immensely proud and humbled to the core to be a part of the idea called Anonymous," he told the journalist. "All you need to be a world-class hacker is a computer and a cool pair of sunglasses. And the computer is optional."
There was a physical description of him in the article, and I thought, it may be, but there was also his real name. This was the first time I'd seen his real name, Christopher Mark Doyon.
So you found the New Yorker piece, and there was a physical description and a name, Christopher Mark Doyon. But there was no picture, so it could have really been anybody who vaguely fit that description.
So I took that name and I put that into Google, and up popped his face. It was a mugshot taken by the FBI. This was when he was producing and distributing LSD for the Grateful Dead tours, and he'd been busted in Indiana, and this was his mugshot.
Jackpot. That was a picture of the man Ian had known as Gordon, who was in fact this Christopher Mark Doyon, a.k.a. the infamous Commander X.
I got goosebumps. I get goosebumps right now.
I don't blame you. This is nuts.
When I realized that that picture was Christopher Mark Doyon, which was the guy in the article, which was the guy in the park, that's when I realized it was a special day. And I went back and engaged with him later that day. And I said I'd seen the article. And he started talking. And that's when we went into a period of several weeks where he started to tell his full story.
The power of Anonymous is that we have the ability to affect change on the internet.
That's Commander X, his voice disguised back in the days when Christopher Doyon wanted to remain anonymous while he was in Anonymous.
You have a site online, all of a sudden we snap our fingers and that site is gone.
So how did Christopher Doyon, Commander X, end up hiding in plain sight? An international fugitive bumming for change outside of a Queen Street church, then crossing the street to log into a coffee shop's free Wi-Fi to wage acts of international cyber protest, an assault on some of the world's most powerful corporations and governments. Here's just a sample of what Chris claims to have worked on while living on the streets in Canada. Operation Israel, Operation Vatican, Operation Bahrain, Operation Turkey. These anonymous campaigns usually revolved around jamming government websites and knocking them offline.
I've been called cyber terrorist, but I have to laugh right now at the very idea. What is an information terrorist? Please, I mean, can somebody help me with that? How can I terrorize people with the truth?
The story of how Chris morphed into Commander X is a movie in and of itself. He grew up on some kind of farm in Maine.
My parents were not very good people. So I spent a lot of time at my grandmother's house, and I had become fascinated with the idea of computers.
He tried to convince his grandma to buy him his first computer.
She leaned back in the chair and she says, "Well, I'm going to spend $2 and buy you a pocket calculator, and then I'm going to sit you down and teach you how to balance your checkbook, And then if you do all that, I'll take you out to the video game store, and for $40, I'll buy you a Pong game. And you can just skip the $100 computer. I said, Grandma, you just don't understand. This is going to change the world.
Chris left home at 14. He drifted. He slept on park benches. Before long, he was following the Grateful Dead. And with that, he started to sell huge amounts of acid at their shows. One day, the cops catch him with enough acid to earn him a sentence of 12 years. That's where the mugshot came from.
That mugshot is the one Ian would discover years later after reading the New Yorker piece.
By 2008, he's again a free man. And in Cambridge, Massachusetts, home of tech institutes like MIT, but also hippie, dippy underground movements like the PLF, the People's Liberation Front, which Chris joins. And before you know it, he's hooked up with the emerging Anonymous movement.
We are Anonymous. Over the years, we have been watching you, your campaigns of misinformation, your suppression of dissent, your litigious nature. All of these things have caught our eye. With the leakage of your latest propaganda video into mainstream circulation, the extent of your malign influence over those who have come to trust you as leaders has been made clear to us. Anonymous has therefore decided that your organization should be destroyed. We are Anonymous. We are Legion. We do not forgive. We do not forget. Expect us.
Here's a quick refresher on Anonymous.
We begin tonight with a rare look inside Anonymous.
They're this shadowy and motley group of hackers and activists who answer to no one.
Depending on your politics and sympathies, they were either a loose internet collective of social activists or an anarchic online criminal organization.
Now they're evolving into this movement of social change, a real driving force behind the Wall Street occupiers.
Someone has broken into the National Bank, the Federal Reserve. The mysterious group Anonymous has struck again with a warning. This is just the beginning. ABC's.
They were known for the Guy Fawkes masks and links to Edward Snowden, Julian Assange, and WikiLeaks. Commander X was at the heart of Anonymous when they were at their height, at least in terms of media attention, and that was 10 or 15 years ago. He was there when Anonymous plunged into the Arab Spring. In 2010, it kicked off in Tunisia.
Friday, the 14th of January, will go down in Tunisia's history as the culmination of unprecedented protests. Protests which ultimately forced the president from power. President Ben Ali was disliked by many Tunisians. 23 years of repression and injustice. The people must get rid of this dictator. It's a burden on our shoulders.
Here's Commander X's recollection of how he and Anonymous became involved in this uprising halfway around the world.
Some Tunisian hackers came to us in Anonymous. And in fact, they were more or less handed off to me because nobody knew quite what to do with them. But they claimed to have some rather extraordinary access, but needed some assistance. So we were able to prove that these people were receiving just enormous bribes, living like gods, while Tunisia drowned in poverty. And so now these people are really just furious.
Anonymous hit the Tunisian government with a DDoS attack.
DDoS stands for Distributed Denial of Service. In its simplest terms, it's an internet traffic jam. The attacker infects as many internet-connected devices as possible with malware, turning the unsuspecting user's machine into what's known as zombies or bots. The attacker then controls those devices and directs them to attack the target. During the attack, the zombies all take aim at the victim's IP address with requests for service, eventually overwhelming the victim's server and knocking it offline. When Anonymous took aim at the Tunisian government, it shut down the websites of the President, Prime Minister, Ministry of Industry, Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and the Stock Exchange. Anonymous also shared information to help Tunisian protesters get around government censorship.
I mean, I think we came out of the Arab Spring pretty convinced we were all f***ing gods.
Anonymous was now a player on the international stage.
Oh my God, we are having geopolitical impact. We're saying who's going to f***ing rule in this world and who isn't.
The problem with saying who's going to rule the f***ing world is that there's someone else already claiming that title, and they don't like the competition. By now, the US government was going after Anonymous, Over the next few years, Anonymous targeted the governments of Tunisia, Egypt, Brazil, Australia, the US themselves, NATO, as well as companies like Sony, the Bank of America, and famously the Church of Scientology. While all that was happening, the US government went after Anonymous, and there were dozens of arrests.
25 members of Anonymous have been arrested.
Armed with search warrants, agents hit six homes in New York, along with locations across the country, seizing hard drives and computer accessories.
By 2011, the cops had a warrant for the commander's arrest.
They want to crucify me and literally give me a life sentence, because at my age, 12 or 15 years, which is what I almost certainly face no matter what, even if that 32 is whittled down, it's probably a death sentence, man. It's probably a life sentence. I don't think I could survive 12 years of hard incarceration. Not the way they do it, with solitary confinement and all that f***ing crazy s***.
And then he was caught.
He was arrested, and it was really difficult for him to gauge what he might be looking at. At the centre of all of these charges and prison time that these people were facing was the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, which could be truly pernicious. Sentencing on the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act was really vague. It could be 20 years, it could be 30 years.
Okay, so things aren't looking particularly good for the commander. He's looking at some serious time here. He's locked up. But we already know that you almost literally stumbled across him on a street in Toronto a few years later. So what happened? How did he get out of this mess? How did he get out of jail? How did he find his way to Queen Street and you eventually? What happened?
Well, Chris jumped bail and then jumped on a sort of hacker's underground railroad. He was passed from safe house to safe house, made his way north, came over somewhere in BC, and then came into Canada.
That's where we started our story. You're walking down the street, you run into this guy. We now know he was effectively hiding in plain sight, panhandling outside a church on Queen Street. And to get exact, it was April 2016.
Correct.
All right, so we've caught up to where you met him. Like we said before, after a few weeks of conversation, he turns to you and he shares a secret. I'm really Commander X. I'm a fugitive from the American government.
Yeah, this is where Werner Herzog comes into the picture.
Werner Herzog, the famed German director, now somehow enters your world.
Correct.
This is the birthplace of the Internet.
And it was from here that the first message was sent. A revolution began.
This is a clip from director Werner Herzog's film, Lo and Behold.
The explosion of information technology on the Internet has led to some of its greatest glories.
To be clear, that film, Lo and Behold, even though it's about technology, the Internet, all those sorts of things, it's not about Commander X. It's Herzog's existential musings on those things, technology, the Internet, where it's all going. He had something else in mind for Commander X. Ian, what was it? And how did Herzog, from halfway around the world, get you on his radar?
I have a 25-year background in the international television business, so I'd reached out to a couple of friends, and within the space of an hour, I was speaking with Werner Herzog's producer, and within the space of a day, everything was in front of Werner.
Ian, you're saying that like it's the most natural thing in the world. Basically, I pick up the phone and within a couple of days, I've got Werner Herzog on board, one of the world's greatest living filmmakers. But you know what? Sure, what the why not? I mean, if a guy strumming tunies on Queen Street can turn out to be this international man of mystery, Commander X, then I guess, sure, it makes sense. You basically have a direct line to Werner Herzog. So what's this film supposed to be about?
The idea for the film was how Chris had fallen into Anonymous and to express the ideas of how Anonymous was going to change the world.
Okay, so you've stumbled across the story of a lifetime. You've formed a real friendship, a bond with this guy, Commander X. You're working on a book. You want the film to tell his story.
Yeah, and then in typical film production style, it was a mess. It was prolonged, it was expensive, it was exhausting.
Look, making movies is always a dicey deal, Ian. No one's really on board until all the contracts are signed. And I've got to imagine that's especially true with someone as renowned and in demand as Werner Herzog. So the millions of ways this idea, this film, could have gone sideways, how did it?
Oh, well, Herzog's production partner went to pitch in Hollywood at Netflix. When it was pitched, something happened in the meeting. There was a sense from the producers that Netflix may have been nervous about recent hacks in Hollywood.
We are all good.
Tonight, Netflix hit by hackers. 10 new episodes of the streaming service's hit show Orange is the New Black reportedly leaked online more than a month before their scheduled release.
And even with Werner on board and with a prominent production company, it was turned down. And then our dreams of making this with Herzog fizzled and ended.
Okay, now to sum up, you've lost Herzog, you've lost Netflix, your dreams are dashed, and rather than a red carpet, Chris is looking at another winter on the streets of Toronto. But as you guys rolled into the winter of 2016, there was one more roll of the dice for the Commander.
Commander X bet everything on the pirates.
Pirates.
Specifically, one pirate named Birgitta Jonsdottir.
That's a fantastic name. I'm not even going to take a run at it. Her name again is?
Birgitta Jonsdottir.
The pirate. So we're up to the winter of 2016-2017. This is when the pirate Birgitta Jonsdottir became his ray of hope.
In times of crisis, it is the only time we have as societies and individuals to do that very necessary transformative change. And so a revolution is not worth anything if there is no evolutionary process.
Birgitta Jonsdottir was the leader of the Pirate Party in Iceland.
Iceland's anti-establishment pirate party is on course to either win or finish second in today's parliamentary elections. Formed 4 years ago by a group of anarchists, hackers and internet freedom activists.
Birgitta used to work for WikiLeaks, and the pirate party was born out of the publication of the Panama Papers.
The Panama Papers being the infamous set of papers revealing the dastardly deeds of the good and great around the world.
Yes, and many in Iceland, including the Prime Minister.
In April this year, protesters forced the Prime Minister to quit when leaked legal documents known as the Panama Papers exposed his offshore financial holdings. Now, with its campaign for constitutional reform and grassroots democracy, the anti-establishment Pirate Party is resonating with voters.
And within a week of the publication of those papers, the Pirate Party, who were this splinter group, were standing at 43% in the opinion polls, which put them, hypothetically, in a position for a landslide.
Well, I can see how a political movement born of hacking and calling themselves the pirates would be attractive to somebody like Chris.
I'm an anarchist, and I don't particularly believe in the process of democracy any more than I do, say, monarchy or dictatorship. But as a hacker, were I to be a believer in the democratic process, could 100% sign on to. They'd done a flawless job.
And he'd even had a history with Birgitta. They knew each other from online. And Chris started to develop a dream whereby, were the pirates to win, he would somehow find his way and find his sanctuary.
I want to pump the brakes here. Again, really, man, did you not feel at any point of this adventure that you drunk the Kool-Aid? I mean, you're walking down the street, you meet a panhandler who just happens to be an international fugitive, who's been an invisible but potent presence in geopolitics, revolution, technology. Fair enough, not just your average panhandler. Then along the way, Netflix comes along and Werner Herzog, of all people, decides to get involved and play to your dreams and then dash them. And now, on election night, you and Commander X are sitting in a basement Airbnb in the middle of Toronto, eating pizza, drinking wine, and this revolutionary, he's dreaming that his future lies in the success or failure of a group called the Pirate Party in Iceland, of all places. Ian, like, it never really occurred to you that you'd gone with Alice, that you'd drunk the Kool-Aid, any other, you know, well-worn analogy for someone who sort of stepped out of reality?
I know it sounds insane.
Yeah, it does sound insane. But it did happen, and